Welcome to Ridgecrest Baptist. We thank you for listening. Now, here is this week's message.
Stacy, you don't need to be nervous when you're around us. We might look bad, but we're not. We're so thankful that you are with us today and next week and looking forward to how God is going to work in all of our hearts to draw us to himself as God uses you. And I wanted to say, don't get the big head, but I wanted to say that what stands out when we come and worship here, and Kevin leads us in this same way, is the heart. And as long as you have the heart for God that you have now, you don't worry about that, because it's the heart that makes the difference in all of our lives. It's in the heart that we go beyond happiness. It's in the heart that we find genuine joy in our life. You might note that the title of the message today is Where is the Joy? You look around our world and you see people with all kinds of material things in their life, but there is that bitterness, there is that unhappiness, there is longing in their heart for something more than what they are experiencing. You find in churches today, people who know Jesus, they know Christ, they have been given the opportunity, and they've been shown joy in the Lord, but somehow they seem to have lost that joy. Have you noticed that? It may be that in your own heart, in your own life, that joy that once was just causing you to bubble over from your heart is sort of ebbed away. And you just don't feel that joy that you once felt. I want you to know there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is something that happens because of these circumstances around you. But joy is something that comes from who is within you. If you're going to have joy in your life, you have to know the one who is the giver of joy. You have to know Jesus Christ in your life. So many people are seeking true happiness, they say. But what they're really saying is they want to go deeper than just happiness on the surface. They want to have that thing within their heart, within their life. And that thing is joy. That thing is Jesus Christ. In our text today, in the book of John, Jesus has just told his disciples that he's going to the cross. He uses words like, I'll be separated from you. You can't come to me. And in a little while, and his disciples began to question among themselves. I'm sure one of those that was questioning was none other than Simon Peter. Because I feel, and this is Headley theology, okay? This comes from my own feeling of what I see in Scripture. But I want you to know that I believe that when Peter wrote those words I shared with you earlier in our Scripture reading, that he did so because of the experience that he had right here in our text today that I'm going to read in just a moment. But they were questioning. They were heartbroken. They were anxious. They were uncertain. Because they had found their security in life in Jesus. They had found life itself in Jesus. They appreciated so much that fellowship that they had with Jesus. And now Jesus had begun to tell them that he's going to a cross, that he's going to die. He's going to be separated from them. Jesus had begun to tell them about the Holy Spirit. But they can't really grasp that, because at that point, they could reach out, they could touch Jesus. They could see Jesus with their physical eyes as well as the spiritual eyes. Jesus was right there with them. And they brought fear in their life that somehow they might be separated from Jesus. Now, having said that, let me say this. That if Jesus Christ is within your life today, because of the cross and because of the resurrection, you never need fear being separated from Jesus. And Jesus was telling them what He was telling them for the simple reason to encourage them and to let them know that what is about to take place is not only necessary for their salvation, but it's necessary for their joy in life. Jesus has come that you might have life and that to the full. That you might have life and that more abundantly. That you might have a life that would be complete in Him. And He tells us in our text that we find completeness in Him and it brings completeness in joy in our life. Let me read the text to you. John 16. Verses 20 through 24. He says, I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn while the world is rejoicing. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish, she forgets the pain because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now your time of grief, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice and no one will take away your joy. In that day you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until you, now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and I love this last phrase, and your joy will be complete. People, I want to tell you today that regardless of what circumstances you're going through, regardless of what sadness you have in your life, regardless of what struggles you are facing, regardless of what suffering you have to do on this earth, the world cannot take away your joy because your joy is in Jesus Christ. Now, there are three things that Jesus implies in this text that I want you to get this morning. They are things that are simple statements and yet so profound. They are things that we ought to take and acknowledge and grab hold to. But so often we take it for granted and we take it lightly. But I want you to get these three things today. Number one, there is joy in your salvation. There is joy in your salvation. And when I talk about that joy in your salvation, I'm not just talking about the fact that you're making heaven and missing hell. You're certainly doing that. Once you trust Jesus as Lord of your life, you have made heaven. And you have Jesus in you. He's in your life. He says there is nothing that can pluck you out of His hand. There's nothing that can separate you from His love. And there is joy in knowing that we have made heaven and we missed hell. But sometimes we take that salvation lightly. And we forget the joy that came into our heart and into our life when we finally repented of our sin. When the Holy Spirit convicted us and reminded Jim Headley, I'm a sinner. And I'm doomed. And I'm bound for hell. But because I was willing to repent, I was willing to forsake that sin and that sinful nature and leave it behind and give my heart and my life into the hands of Jesus, asking Him to forgive me and be Lord of my life. Oh, the joy and the peace that flooded my life at that point. And now I know that every one of you, if you trusted Jesus in your life, you can say there was joy in that repentance. Because I'm undeserving. I don't deserve forgiveness. I rebelled against my Creator. I rebelled against the one who went to a cross and He paid my penalty upon that cross. It was for my sins that He died. And yet that same God, that same Jesus, takes me by the hand. I want to say more than that. I believe He picks us up and hugs us close and says, I love you. I forgive you, and I give you life eternal. There's joy in that. There's joy in the forgiveness of sin. There's joy in your salvation. Here's what I want to say. Don't ever take lightly the salvation experience that you have had in Jesus. Now, it may not be a Paul on the road to Damascus type experience when you found Jesus and you were saved. It may have been. It may have just been you sitting down and praying with someone and praying and asked Jesus to come into your life and you were saved right there. But I want you to know this. Regardless of how you experienced your salvation experience, it was just as real and just as valid and just as completing as the experience that Paul had or anybody else has had. It is your personal experience with Jesus. Now, when Paul was talking about that, he reminded us in Philippians, in fact, that whole book of Philippians about the joy that we have in Christ and the fellowship. He talks about that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. And he says, and again I say, rejoice. When Peter was talking about it, he is talking about the glorious, the inexpressible joy that we have received in our salvation, and that it is the ultimate goal of our soul to experience salvation. What a beautiful way that Peter, Simon Peter, had of expressing that. Jesus simply said, right now, you are grieving, or you're going to grieve, while the world is rejoicing. What was he talking about there? Jesus says, I'm going to the cross. I'm laying down my life. I'm going to die on that cross. And the world is going to rejoice as I go to the cross because they're going to think they have gotten rid of me. They're going to think that now they can go on about their religious ritual and about their own way and not have to answer for their sins. And they're going to rejoice why you weep and why you mourn and why you grieve. It doesn't end there, does it? Jesus said, but you just wait because your grief is going to turn to rejoicing. There's going to be a resurrection from the dead. Jesus said, on the third day, I will rise. I'll rebuild this temple. I will rise from the dead. And Jesus lives forevermore. And even as we sing on a regular basis, that old hymn, because He lives, I live. There's joy in your salvation. But listen, our salvation is not just from that one-time experience. Sometimes we think back, well, I was saved back then, and you were. I was 8 years old, almost 9 years old when I was saved. And I was saved then. But the words that are used for salvation in Scripture are words that speak of progression. They speak of a continuation. As I learned in seminary, we have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about that theological word, sanctification. And there is joy in sanctification. Now, what is sanctification? Sanctification is the purification or the maturing of the child of God from the moment he trusts Jesus, has that experience of salvation, until he steps into glory. Sanctification is God maturing you. God perfecting you. God making you that vessel. You hear me say it so often. God making you that vessel that he wants to spend eternity with. God taking your life and molding you and making you into his own image. Not just physically, but spiritually. God taking you and instilling his mind within you. God gifting you and placing within you the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. That's sanctification. That's where you learn to decrease so that he might increase. That's where you learn to die to self so that you might live unto Jesus Christ. That's sanctification. That's where God leads you and molds you as his child, grows you as his child. So often, and I speak for myself here as well as for you, so often when trouble comes our way and God is sharpening iron with iron, as the Scripture says, when we're going through those difficult times in our life, we have more of a tendency to ask God, why? Why is this happening to me? I've heard that several times just in the last couple of weeks. Why is this happening to me? When we ought to be asking, God, what are you teaching me? What are you teaching me? How can I join you and grow closer to you and become more like you through this struggle that I'm going through right now? That's sanctification. And let me tell you something. When you realize that God is at work in your life, and through the good times and through the bad times, that God is working out his plan, and he's teaching you, and he's growing you, and he's molding you, it will bring peace, it will bring confidence, it will bring joy to your life. Here's what I'm saying. Every day of your life, the Lord Jesus is growing you. And whether we want to admit it or not, we grow much more through the struggles of life than we do through the good times in life. We grow so much more when we have to depend upon God because we realize we can't do it ourselves than when everything is just falling into place as we go through life. That's the reason so often that Satan puts the pleasures before your eyes of this world. Makes you think that there's an easy way out if you follow the world and follow him. Because he doesn't want you to grow. He doesn't want you to become like Jesus. He doesn't want you to experience the real joy of life. So he gives you that pleasure for a season, the Scripture tells us, as a substitute for the real joy that Jesus offers. But there's joy in sanctification, in your growing to become like Jesus. Now, when you were saved, you were justified. That experience of salvation, where you had that joy of salvation, it was an experience in which Jesus said that you are justified as if you had never sinned. Not because of you, but because of His precious blood that was shed for you. As you go through life and you grow in Christ to become more like Him, you're sanctified. You are set apart. That's literally what it means. You are set apart for God. You are called to holiness. You're called to be holy in your life. And that's something you choose. It's not something that just happens to you. And that leads us to the third point. And really, these first two points, to a large extent, have their foundation in the third point. There is joy in your surrender. There's joy in your surrender. In fact, Jesus said before, as you've been going through life and you've been suffering, you have not asked. But now you can ask anything in my name and it will be done. And then that last phrase again, and your joy will be complete. There's no joy without salvation. There's no salvation until you surrender your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. There's joy in surrender. As you go through life and you face the problems, if you're like me and are like most of us men, ladies, you don't even want to ask for directions when you get lost. And you are going to try to handle the problem, whatever it is, you're going to try to handle it yourself most of the time until you finally surrender. Until you finally admit to God, God, I painted myself in a corner. I don't have any way out but You. It's when we surrender, our joy is complete. Jesus said, ask Me. Ask Me. Ask Me. In My name, ask Me. Now, it may be a little bit of a caveat right there, because Jesus wants to remind us to ask Him in His name. In other words, to agree with Him about what needs to be done. To ask and agree with Him. Because when we agree with Him and we know that He's already reaching out to teach us, to grow us, to make us what we ought to be, the only thing that is necessary for us is to surrender to Him, to surrender to His will. And when we do that, He floods us with His joy. And that joy in surrender is what brings victory in our life. It's a contradiction as far as the world is concerned. But it's the truth of God through His Word. You find your victory through surrender. Here's why. Who fights the battles in life? The Lord says He fights the battles, doesn't He? He fights our battles before us. He goes ahead of us. He's behind us. He's around us. He is our shield. And I could go in and preach a while about that, but I don't have time today. He is our shield that guards the most vulnerable parts of our life. He is our shield. And in that surrender to Him, again, we find peace, we find confidence, we find completeness, we find joy. Because when you are in the hands of God, nothing and nobody, that's not good English, nothing or no one can touch you. What we need across our nation today, we need to let our joy be seen in our lives. We need to let our joy be such that it overwhelms us, so that the power of God is seen and worked through us. As we surrender to Jesus Christ and His will for our life. And that's what I'm calling you for today. I'm calling you to surrender once and for all to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm calling you to accept His salvation if you've never trusted Him as Lord of your life, to surrender your life into His hands and what He wants done, to acknowledge your sinfulness, to acknowledge that you need a Savior, to acknowledge that you rebelled against Him, to repent of that, turn from that, and confess Him as Lord of your life. Christian, I'm asking you to get self off the throne today and put Jesus in His rightful place in your heart. I'm asking you to surrender self to Him. I'm asking you to give up your hope and your dream and what you want so that He can have His hope and His dream and instill that within you and it become a new hope and dream for you. I'm asking you to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do you do that? If you're trusting Him as Lord and Savior of your life, the Bible says we're to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, as well as believe in our heart that God's raised Him from the dead and we'll be saved. So if you're coming for salvation this morning, you're asking Christ to come into your heart, I'm going to ask you to come and share that with me during our time of invitation. That's confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You just come and say, I'm accepting Jesus into my heart. I'm trusting Him. For you as believers, as you surrender, our altar is open. We tell you every week that our altar is open from any time during any service, any time that God is dealing with you, you're invited to the altar to deal with God. I'll be happy to pray with you as well. It's time to surrender. It's time to find your joy in the Lord and live in that joy. Will you make that decision for Him? As we stand together, you step out and make your decision today.
We hope this message will help you in your spiritual walk and growth. For more about Ridgecrest, please visit us on the web at www.rbc.com. Have a great day, and God bless.